Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting to sort of get the read on this, and it's something I think we've all talked about, you know, since Brady left. You know, Julian, you've seen all the memes on Twitter, you know, poor Julian looking longingly at Tampa and Brady and Gronk. And, you know, I'm getting the sense that it's obviously he misses his guys, but this is just the opposite that oh, you know, we've been hearing now since the moment Brady walked out the door that we're not any good. And now Julian's taking it to the, well, I guess I wasn't any good either, you know. I mean, 100 catches last year playing with, you know, on one leg and with one arm for various points of the season. I guess I wasn't good either. So I think there's clear motivation, not just with him, I think with a lot of guys that are saying, hey, we're a little bit better than you give us credit for. We're not going to just collapse because Tom Brady's not the quarterback.
Yeah, it was Mike Giardi, NFL Network. You had him on yesterday. It was a good conversation. And he was reacting to his tweet that he had, I guess, over the weekend, where Giardi said about Julian Edelman, he asked one Patriot about Edelman's mindset this season, and that Edelman has been a regular at throwing sessions. Quote, this is from the Patriot player. Julian is Julian. He hates excuses. He hates to lose. He's already got the red ass about this season, people thinking we're no good and that he's just a product of Brady, end quote. And so I think this is an important story. And I'm not totally sold on it yet. I need to see it. But of all the things I'm looking at this year, Maz, on the Patriots and Murray, Edelman might be on the top of my list.
He's up there.
Okay. I mean, I want to say he is, if not the most important player on the team, he's one of them. He's one of the most important players on the team, both on the field and off. He might be number one, but he's, you know, no lower than two or three. And I find his story and his buy-in, both off the field and on, the most interesting story to me of this entire season and this entire team. How do you feel about that, Maz?
Well, so look, Mike, they've got two guys on the offense that I would say are proven veteran skill players. One is James White, the other is Edelman. And we know that one of them is out there a lot more than, you know, Edelman's obviously out there a lot more than White is. So there aren't a lot of known commodities. And I think a while back we talked about who should be the captain of the offense or who is the captain of the offense. And the answer is Edelman. It should be Edelman. The whole reason he's here is to provide leadership for that group and to provide, you know, someone who can help develop Jarrett Stidham. I think really that's one of the big things. Now, I was happy to see the tweet that Giardi had out there yesterday, that if Edelman is motivated and he's intent on, you know, proving that he can play without Brady, let alone still play, which is also an issue, because I told you at the beginning of the year, if I were the Patriots, I think I'd consider cutting bait with Edelman and finding a replacement, because I think he's going to be cash soon. I don't think there's a lot left there. Belichick clearly feels differently, and they're putting a lot on him. There are no two ways about that.
I think he's really talented, and I don't really think he's so much of a product of Brady. Brady certainly helped, but, you know, the hard work and the ethic, I mean, I think that starts with within. But I, too, am curious to see how his attitude is, because if he dogs it and it's an off year and it's not just because age is catching up with him and the beating that he's taking is catching up with him, it just really does say so much. It's like, oh, you're mad that Tom is gone and you can't put in the max effort. Because if there's any opportunity for one guy to be the face of the offense, I'm with Maz. It's Edelman. It should be Edelman.
Well, there's just so many facets of it. The thing is, how do we know he's not just a product of Brady? I mean, I like him. I love him as a player. I love those guys.
I love those short possession receivers, sure-handed, tough, competitive. I love it. I love everything about his game. But if he were drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, would he even be in the league? If he were drafted by the Chicago Bears, would he be an NFL player?
Oh, he wouldn't have the numbers and the type of career he's had. Absolutely
would he even not. Be in the league? I mean, I don't know. Unless he had the right quarterback and coaches that believed in him, and I think most coaches in this league probably wouldn't be smart enough to believe in him or use him. He was a quarterback, for crying out loud, at Kent State, a seventh-round throwaway draft pick. He was given the shot here because the coach is smart and he fits Brady's game. But if he were drafted somewhere else, he'd be cannon fodder. He'd be roster fodder, and he'd bounce around the league, and I don't know if he'd be in the league.
But because of his willingness to do anything, including playing defense at one point, I think you can make more of a case that he's more a product of Bill than anything else.
So, okay, but anyway.
Well, yes and no. Yeah, yes and no. Because, again, look at the lineage. I mean, look at the lineage at that position in Foxborough. Troy Brown, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman. Now, we all think they're good players, and they are. But it's also suggested the Patriots haven't skipped a beat at that position. And they've all, you know, Brown obviously had Bledsoe at the beginning. So in a lot of ways, he's a little bit different.
He was a 100-catch guy before Brady got here. So
okay, I included him just to support the argument. So I recognize that there was a line there. But at the same time, I would tell you that, you know, Brady helped produce the slot receiver in New England. It might be a Brady thing. I think also the big thing with Edelman is show me you got something left in the tank, too. Like, I think Edelman can play. I don't know if he's a great player without Brady, but I think he can play in the league. I also think he's got to prove to me that he's got more left than I think he does.
Well, so here's what I know. And I know there's people around the league and around the country that look at him and say, you're just Brady's bellhop, and you're just Brady's guy, and he made you, and now that he's gone, what are you? And I hope he has the red ass, as Mike Giardi wrote in his tweet. I hope that's motivating him, because there's a lot of people who feel that way. And if Edelman falls on his face without Brady, then I think a lot of people are going to feel that way about him. And those are his stakes. That's what his reputation has on the line. So he should be motivated by that. Okay. And I want that to be his prime motivation. I don't want his prime emotion to be sad little droopy dog because they traded all your buddies. And now Tommy Boy is somewhere else and they ship Gronk there too. And he's looking longingly down in Tampa while he's stuck up here with, you know, mean Bill with a mean boss and a couple of mediocre quarterbacks. And I, you know, if he carries himself that way, then I'm going to look at him and go, what's the matter with you, dude? You know, you don't work for Tom Brady. He doesn't sign your checks. You work for the Patriots and Belichick and Kraft, and they're the ones that employ you. So I expect you, Julian Edelman, to give Jared Stidham every bit of effort and toughness, everything you brought Tom Brady on the field, off the field. I expect the full thing from you with Jared Stidham. Because anything less than that, I'm going to look at you. I'd be disappointed. I'd be really disappointed. You play for the New England Patriots, not the Bradys. So give the next quarterback everything you brought to Tom Brady. And anything less, I think, is not going to look good for you. And so when they say he's already out there, he's got the ass, so fine. That's good. Good start. I hope he carries that through the entire way. And I think it's a rub-off, Maz. I think if Edelman buys in to Stidham internally, in the locker room, you know, just overall, buys into Stidham, that's my guy. Or buys into whoever the quarterback is, but buys in. Then, you know, what's Jacoby Myers have to do? And what, you know, like what are the rest? It starts with Edelman. But if Edelman gives him the ass, you know, you're not Tommy. You know, if he pulls some of the crap he pulled with Garoppolo, really more off the field than on. But if he pulls, again, the droopy dog thing, well, you're not Tommy, and he carries himself that way, then what does that do for the locker room? He's a big guy in terms of that. That's an important facet right there.
So the only thing I wonder about with the young guys is that whether they're just doing cartwheels about the fact that Brady's gone. Because it doesn't feel to me like Jacoby Myers or N'Keal Harry's going to miss Brady all that much. So I do wonder if they'll see Stidham and go, okay, here we go. At least now we have a chance. But if they're going to succeed, Edelman's got to be a part of it. So, you know, now, and to me, that's where I think he can affect Stidham and maybe the buy-in from the other guys, that Stidham will be better if Edelman buys in. And then all of a sudden, all the, you know, all the other players will go, okay, maybe we are better than we thought. But look, Edelman's a huge guy there. Huge. And when I saw the Giardi tweet, it caught my attention too. I felt the same way you did. Like, oh, okay, well, this is good, because I thought he might be one of these guys that moped around a little bit, and Tom and Gronk are in Tampa, and now what am I going to do without them? And if he goes the opposite way, that's good for the Patriots.
Oh, they need it. He has to go the opposite way. He has to. And it bugged me the way he carried himself when Garoppolo, you know, took over. Giardi weighed in on this. I don't know if you asked him directly, Maz. You probably subliminally were sending him.
Subliminal about it.
Ask about Jimmy G. Had to be. But, the way he carried himself. And I thought on the field, when you go back and look at Edelman's production for Garoppolo, it was good. He was big for him against Arizona, and he was there. You know, so on the field, it didn't really show, but I definitely remember an undercurrent off the field. Like, Edelman wouldn't even really say his name or compliment him, or he was just like, ah, come on, Edelman. That bugged me, and Giardi weighed in on that. Play that cut there, Jim.
Have you been able to get any sense, Mike, as to how Edelman feels about Stidham?
I think they're in a good place. I think that he is I think it's interesting because I think when Jimmy was around, Julian wasn't necessarily, especially early on, arms wide open for Jimmy. And I think that's not the way that this has played out. I think he is much more, from what I can gather, he's much more receptive to Stidham and what Stidham brings to the table. I think Edelman came around on Garoppolo, but I think at the beginning, you know, that was a shot across Brady's bow, and therefore Julian took it as a shot across his bow as well.
Oh, wah.
He's just being loyal to his friend, that's all. And Bill was grooming that kid to take Brady's job. He wanted that to happen.
So what?
So have some loyalty. He was being a loyal friend. I see nothing wrong with that.
Oh, please. It's the NFL. Everyone's grooming everyone to take everyone's job. That's the nature of pro sports. What, Bill's not supposed to look out for the next thing or do his job and have the next quarterback? And so Julian,
that was clearly premature.
You're trying to replace Tommy. I'm not gonna be nice to the new guy, baby.
I give him points for loyalty. The hell with Bill.
Yeah, well, to Edelman's credit, at least by the point it came to, you know, by the time it came to the point where he had to get on the field and produce, he did.
He did.
Right? So it didn't get in the way. You know, it was because you can see how that one went down. They drafted Garoppolo. Brady was all, you know, pissed off at the time. He's talking to Edelman saying, can you believe they drafted this guy? They're trying to push me out the door. Can you believe they're pulling this crap? So naturally, Jules Craig climbed into Brady's pants and sat in the back pocket for a little while. And then all of a sudden, Brady decided to accept his suspension, and Garoppolo had to get on the field. And Edelman, at the end of the day, decided he had to play. But, you know, it feels like the Stidham thing is different, at least based on what Giardi was saying. Again, I was happy to see the tweet that Giardi put out there. I thought it was a good sign that Edelman's got the red ass. He's got to fire up his ass if that's what it is, and he wants to disprove anyone who thinks that he was a product of Tom Brady. That can only help.
So I think you put it well there, Maz. And this sums up my entire Julian Edelman thing. Are you going to climb out of Tommy's jock? Are you going to climb out of his? Are you going to quit swinging from the Brady's? Okay, are you going to climb out of his pants and play for the Patriots and not the Brady's, and give everything to Stidham that you're giving to Tom? Not just the devotion off the field, but it's important for the locker room to buy into the new guy that you buy in. I think it starts with Julian Edelman. He buys in, it makes it easier for everyone else to buy in because Edelman's now the guy. So that's got to be the way he conveys himself. That's got to be the way he carries himself. And then on the field, are you going to fight through injury, go over the middle, play tough, take the hits, get back up like you did for Tom? And I agree, Maz, there's a whole other component about Edelman's game falling off. Like, that's sort of an untold story. His game really tapered off at the end of last year.
Big time.
Giardi mentioned an injury, so there's that. But, I mean, people forget, like, that Tennessee game was still there, and Edelman had a massive drop.
Huge.
In the second half that really sort of sealed the game for the Titans. So, So I'm sort of leaving that to the side. I'm assuming Edelman's going to be healthy, and he still has something to give.
So just quickly, I looked it up this morning because Murray mentioned it yesterday. Murray, you said, I think you mentioned yesterday he had like 9 drops or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was one of the league leaders.
Okay, I looked up the actual number. It was 13.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
13 drops, tops in the league. And that one on second down against Tennessee, I want to say it was like a 2nd-and-8 play, and he would have easily gained 10, 15 yards. I mean, it was a layup. He was wide open and dropped it.
So I'm putting that to the side because if he's cashed, then, you know.
Different problem.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's a whole other story. If he's still a viable player, are you going to climb out of Brady's jock and you go back and play for the Patriots and not the Brady's and give everything to Stidham and the team that you gave to Brady because they need it? It's an important guy. So there's the thought on that. You want to weigh in? You can. 617-779-0985. I also have a take on the anthem protests for next year and why I think Roger Goodell gave the players the green light. You'll hear that right after these words.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
Did they say it?
Oh, I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Oh, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just think that Edelman being here is important for the development of Stidham. Do you agree or disagree?
I think it's a great point, Tony. I think minus having someone like Rob Gronkowski, who was the ultimate security blanket because of his size and his catch radius, and obviously just a freak at the tight end position, having someone like Edelman, who uncovers it as quickly as he does, and even last year, you know, I basically say his season ended after week 13. I think that's when the injuries really caught up with him and his production went way in the tank, but prior to that, he had been really uncoverable. I think that's what you're looking at here. You're looking at someone, he's going to be open in 1.5-2 seconds. So if you're not confident in your offensive line, or you just want to simplify things for your quarterback and get him confident early on, then that's exactly how you do it. You get rid of the ball quick, let him do some after the catch stuff, you know, get, you know, second and two, whatever, 13 yards on that play, first down, we keep the chains moving, we get in favorable territory. I think it's huge. That's why I felt like there was no chance that they were going to move him. Because I think he is absolutely critical to what they're doing. Now, look, if things went sideways and they're 1-5, you know, in late October or whatever, sure, and someone like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers called, then, yeah, I think they would entertain it. But I think right now they don't feel like that's going to be the case. They feel like he's going to be their best receiver and a huge asset to whoever the quarterback is.
1-5 and Edelman getting traded to Tampa. Not in the cards for me. Not in my cards. No, I want Edelman balls to the wall. Something to prove to everybody. And something to prove to the team that he's not just, you know, Brady's baggage handler. And, you know, he can put up numbers and produce for another quarterback other than Tom Brady. I mean, I hope he's personally challenged. Brady, you know, are you just a product of Brady? Or you're a great player in your own right? And if you can bring along a young quarterback, yeah, I think, you know, I'm not sure who mentioned this yesterday, but, you know, I think his Hall of Fame credentials get enhanced.
Yeah, McCarthy mentioned that yesterday.
Was that McTakey?
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like...
Yeah, he could do a long way. He could go a long way for his legacy if he shows up and, you know, is a leader, is the leader of the offense and goes out there and has a great season. He'd also be kind of the anomaly considering his age and that position and the beating he's taken, because he's already at where Wes Welker dropped off in Denver.
Oh, no, these slot guys, this is when it happens.
You know, so if he puts up over 1,000 yards or 900 yards and has 6-7 touchdowns. Like, that's that hasn't happened before at a guy with that age at that position.
All right, let me go ahead.
Just quickly, the one thing he has in his favor, and I looked some of this up this morning, is that he hasn't been targeted nearly as much as Welker has at his age. So there's like a difference in 300 targets. You know, Troy Brown, and again, I know it's different, but Troy Brown played till he was about 36. And, you know, in his last couple of productive years, averaged around 40 catches. So, you know, right now is the time where there could be a drop-off, and maybe injury was a factor, but Edelman's right on that line, man. He's right on it.
Okay, so I'll grab a few calls before I get to my anthem thought here. Rick in the truck, go ahead. Hello, Rick.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey there. Just wanted to weigh in on Julian Edelman. I know there's talk about him moping around the locker room without Brady. I don't think that's going to be the case. Maybe he didn't hit off with Jim Garoppolo, but out on the field, he performed. He was a professional. He did his job, and I think that's what you're going to see here. Change of quarterback is not going to change Julian Edelman's drive and professionalism.
Okay, I hope you're right. And, you know, the on-the-field thing, yeah, he played for Garoppolo. The numbers indicate, the production indicates that Edelman was there for Jimmy Garoppolo like he was Tom Brady. Off the field, it was obvious just watching him, you know, publicly, how he carried himself publicly. It was clear that Edelman wasn't going to give Garoppolo any due because he was Brady's guy, and Brady was all pissed off about Garoppolo and et cetera, et cetera. So that can't happen here. That can't happen here because the locker room has to buy in on this guy. Has to buy in. The whole organization does. And I think it starts with Julian Edelman. And so he can't be pulling that act, and I don't expect him to. But, again, I got my eye on it. Here's Chris in Connecticut. He's been waiting to talk about Kyrie Irving. Chris, go ahead. You're up next.
Yeah, Mike, glad to have you back. You know, Edelman, you know, professional, like the gentleman said, you know, he'll be fine. He'll take that leadership role. Now, Maz, you know, your team Kyrie, as of right now, June 9th, of everything you've seen and the type of personality, Kemba Walker or Kyrie, would you want Kyrie to lead this Boston team? And I actually think that it is a sprint and the Boston Celtics could win this down there in Disney.
Okay. All things being equal, who'd you rather have, Kemba Walker or Kyrie Irving?
So the way he asked the question was, would I want Kyrie to lead this team? And my answer is no. Would I take Kyrie over Kemba if I had a leader? Yeah.
So again, if you're the Brooklyn Nets, you're taking Kyrie Irving over Kemba Walker.
Yep.
Okay, let's see.
The Nets have basically already admitted they regretted bringing him in.
Let's see.
But this is sort of my point. And look, I try to be consistent with this. You know, I think that league's about talent. And if Kyrie is your leader, you're screwed. But if you got a guy who's better than him and he has to be, you know, dare I say, subservient to, then I think that Kyrie is perfectly fine because he'll stay in line and he won't have the juice that he thinks he has, and then it'll work.
And it's all a matter of time before the a-hole factor takes over. I'd take Brad Wanamaker over Kyrie Irving at this point.
That's pushing it. But I think Kemba Walker is 85, 90% of the player that Kyrie Irving is.
Oh, for sure.
And
yeah,
a better competitor, better pro, better guy. Not that I care, but
too high a percentage.
Really? You don't think he's 85% of Kyrie Irving?
Nope.
Drew in the car on Edelman. Go ahead, Drew.
Yeah, why so much emphasis on Edelman's catches and all that for this year? When we know that Jared Stidham's strength is his arm, why wouldn't McDaniel just make up a playbook that focuses on his strength? And we know that when a quarterback isn't as experienced, why don't we just build up on the defense and just make him a game manager? Because we have Bill Belichick in his defensive mind. That's all I wanted to say.
So you're saying a couple different things. If he's a game manager, then Edelman fits perfectly, right? If he's a game manager, just go back and move the chains and hit Edelman against the linebacker at 6 yards and keep doing that down the field. So that's why he's important. And if, you know, you're saying that Stidham's strength is his big arm, well, I don't want them devising an offense where he's chucking the ball all over the yard. Is that what we're doing here? No, he's taking care of the football and moving the chains, and if not, getting the ball to the punter. And I think in that regard, Edelman fits him perfectly, Maz.
Well, so look, I would hope, though, that to me there's a happy medium in there somewhere. And when I say that, I mean this is a big year for McDaniels, too, as much as we talk about Edelman. So I just think that it is now incumbent upon McDaniels to look at what Stidham does well and try to incorporate a good deal of that into the offense, too. I'm not telling you everything. You want to tell me that Bill Belichick believes that you can control the area between the hashes on offense, get those 6 yards, and they're tough yards, and take the easy easy six, but you're going to have to fight for him. You have to get beat up for him. Then fine. But I also would hope that they don't ask Stidham to be Brady. I mean, Mike, you've said this a million times. Brady between the hashes might be like one of the greatest of all time, if not, and I'm talking about one specific skill set.
But hold on. No, I want him to be Brady. And I don't mean like six Super Bowl. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about read the defense and get rid of the ball.
Yeah, but what if throwing those short routes is not his strength?
Oh, it better be. Oh, my God, if it's not, they're porked.
Okay, so, but he might do other things that are a little bit better, in which case you can do both. This is all I'm telling you. If Stidham can't throw in the middle of the field, I don't expect him to be as efficient in there as Brady was. I don't think that that's realistic.
No, but I still want him playing that way. I mean, that's what I want, going back seven steps and hitting guy on a 17-yard out?
I didn't say that. But I think that there's, again, a happy medium in there. That now, look, if he's good at that, fine. And maybe they've already determined that, and that's part of the reason they wanted to bring Edelman back. But I also think to try to shoehorn the quarterback into your offense is a little bit of a mistake if the quarterback has other skills you can use.
I mean, maybe I'm reading it wrong. I think the whole idea is to have a conservative offense and a conservative passing game, and that's what I want, and that's the quarterback I think that I want to have. I mean, if I have Pat Mahomes, then fine. You know, run around and chuck it all over the yard, of course. But that's not what we're looking at here. We're looking at a fourth-round pick and a young quarterback. No. Manage it, get rid of the ball, throw it short, move the chains, or get it to the punter. Like, that's my vision.
Well, that's what it's going to be at the beginning. I'm just saying that I think good coaching is to adapt to your talent.
Okay, well, so there's that. We can continue with that topic. I do want to get to my anthem thought as well. We'll do it right after Big Jim Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Felger and Mez.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, two stories I want to get to here. One, it's really from the weekend, but I was off, so my first chance to weigh in. Roger Goodell has that video on Friday saying he supports the players and their right to protest. He apologizes for not listening on racial issues sooner, the league made a mistake, and that he encourages, again, peaceful protests from these guys, which I read as a complete green light for these guys to come back and take a knee when the season starts. Do you think I read that properly?
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, okay. So I think he gave him the green light. Now the second question is, do you think Roger Goodell acted unilaterally for the first time in his life, or he is taking his cues from the owners?
Cues from the owners.
Cues from a certain sect of owners. Important ones that have a voice, but certainly not all of them.
Agreed. Better way to put it.
Absolutely. Because I think there's still certain owners that would not sign off on that or want that, or there's going to be, you know, issues in certain markets for certain owners versus others. So I do not think that all of a sudden Roger Goodell grew a set of testicles and a moral compass, right, and said to himself, I'm just going to come out and make a statement for what's right.
This is my time to shine.
No. He talked to again, either Kraft or the Maras or
look at the guys who've given money. So Robert Kraft is absolutely positively one of them that they've given money to, you know, Black Lives Matter and some of these causes. Shad Khan, who owns the Jaguars, who is pretty influential because he's trying to get that team over to London. Like, some of these guys are fully on board. Where's Jerry Jones? Like, we still haven't heard, to my knowledge, a peep from Jerry Jones, and he might be the most powerful of owners. So no, not all 32 of these teams have signed off on this.
You know, I do wonder, too, Mike, we touched on this briefly yesterday, and, again, I know you weren't here, but the more I think about it, I do wonder if the Jerry Joneses of the world want it this way, too, so that they can at least tell partners or whoever else who might have an issue with it, or maybe some of their fans, hey, don't look at me. I didn't want to necessarily get on this road. I think we should be standing for the anthem, but the league made a decision that went beyond my input. I was in the minority, and you know, maybe a lot of owners can now claim that and wash their hands of it and say, don't look at me, I didn't vote this way.
Well, I mean, they get to play both sides of the fence then,
right?
They?
Exactly. But that's what I mean. And again, they don't have to do it publicly, but they can do it privately with their business partners or whoever it is that they're concerned about.
Right. Again, well, I mean, and really it's sponsors, you know, sponsors who want them to take the side of the protesters or sponsors that want them to fight it. You can play it both ways. If you're Jerry Jones, you can say, look, the league's doing the right thing. Roger Goodell's made the statement. We support the players. We support Black Lives Matter. That's how we feel. If there's a conservative, you know, sponsor or someone that he's got to, massage, he can say, look, I didn't really agree with it. That was his call. And, you know, we're not saying anything. And so
exactly.
He gets to play it both ways. He gets to weasel it on both sides of it, which is good. That's Roger Goodell. He's the shield. That's why they pay him that money, for him to put himself out there. But so I agree that not every owner would sign off on it, but he got sign off from some of them, because that guy, you know, all of a sudden is not going to grow testicles and a moral compass. He's just not going to do that. There's going to be some sort of direction there that he's gotten from the owners. So why have the owners changed course? Why have they changed course? And I'm going to be cynical. I think this is a perfect year for them to do it. Because why? When we get to the games, there's fans probably not going to be in the stands. They're probably not going to be there. Could there be like 10,000 fans in certain buildings in certain parts of the country, like Miami's gearing up to do that and certain places are doing that? Maybe. But my guess is, and if they were being honest, they would probably have to admit to it, that a lot of buildings are going to be totally empty and maybe just a few will have some fans. And these games are going to become TV productions, much like we're seeing now with the European soccer. It's a start, you know, but from the fake crowd noise and how they're, you know, shooting the stands and all of this. More than ever, these NFL games are going to be TV productions. So all they have to do is post-produce the kneeling and make it look like however they want to make it look like. They don't, you know, oh, by the way, the networks had stopped broadcasting the anthems anyway. You know, big games, you know, the big games, the Super Bowls, obviously, and conference title games and things like that, we would still see the anthem. But when the Patriots kick off at 1 o'clock on CBS against the Buffalo Bills.
Now you see the flag getting wrapped up, basically.
That's right. Yeah, you don't even see that. Yeah.
They don't show the anthem, do they?
No.
Did they ever? I can't remember how they did. I mean, I think they just, let's go to Buffalo, boom, 1 o'clock, the ball's been kicked. I know they started to do it back in 2017, after the anthem protest. Their solution, one of them was, well, we just won't televise them kneeling. And that'll save us some problems. But now this year, more than ever, it's really going to be that. These are TV shows more than ever. So there's no fans in the stands, or very few. So you won't get those ugly scenes like you got at Gillette when the guys did it here in 2017. It's going to be produced like you read about, you know, TV production-wise, because it's going to be more incumbent on the TV productions more than ever. So don't televise it live. You're going to, you know, tape it and show it, but you can sort of edit it and make it look like however you want it to look like, so you can appease the players. Yeah, go ahead, take a knee. We're not going to show it. Or we're going to post-produce it and show it the way, maybe massage it, or produce it in a certain way where it looks better for us, or won't upset our sponsors, or won't upset some of our fans, and they get to control the whole message because it ain't live anyway. And so it's an easy give. It's an easy give for the owners this time around, given the nature of the games coming up this year in the middle of pandemic. That's what I think.
Okay, so look, there's no question. The stadiums are going to be empty. It's a huge factor. Because, again, I was in the stands that day in Foxborough when it happened. And most of the hostility was in the building. I mean, I don't think it was, you know, not that you could feel it from people in front of their television sets. Here's the other thing, Mike. Let's say that they actually show it. Let's just say that they show it.
And by the way, they're going to have to show it. Because...
Okay, so that's the other thing I was going to say to you is, given the attention of now being placed on the Black Lives Matter movement, the TV stations, the networks, will look really bad if they don't show it.
Well, no, I mean, who will they look bad to? Like, who do they have to appease? To me, it's the players.
To me, it's the players.
I mean, you can't, as Roger Goodell, on one hand, say, we encourage you to peacefully protest, we're with you, we had it wrong last time, and then have them protest and then edit it out of the broadcast? No. You've got to show it. But I'm telling you, they get to control it still. They get to control that message and how it's broadcast and when it's broadcast and ultimately what it looks like. And that, I think that's a big factor.
Sure it is. But here's my ultimate point. Let's say that they actually showed it live. And I'm not saying they're going to. Are ratings going to go down?
Oh, I mean, it did the last time.
Yeah, but every time we talked about it, we said it wasn't related to the anthem protest.
I don't think it is.
Okay, nor do I. And so I think that the NFL knows it's not related to the anthem protests. And they said, you know what? This caused a big stink the last time around. And at the end of the day, if you know, now I don't dispute the idea that they're going to be able to pre-produce it and record it and control it a little bit more. Absolutely. But I also think they looked at it and said, all right, there was a lot of noise about it. There will probably be less this time because, for lots of reasons, not just the most obvious, that people are far more in tune with the cause than maybe the first time around. But then beyond that, I think they can look at it and say, I don't think that's really what affected our television ratings. So it might cause a little bit of an uproar in terms of noise, but that'll blow over and we'll withstand it no problem at all.
Yeah, I think it's more of a sponsorship thing. I think it's more of a business partners, you know, thing. Is, you know, does Jerry Jones have business partners down there that advertise at the stadium or advertise with his team or advertise on his website that are, you know, really conservative in a conservative part of the country and say, we don't want to be associated with a team that, you know, that's, I think, the issue. That if they think the ratings were impacted, it's ridiculous. It wasn't. For all the babies that say, I'm not going to watch again, just shut up. You watched.
Oh, right. You know, that didn't matter at all.
Give me a break. But if businesses start pulling ad dollars because they don't stand for that, then that's, you know, that's something. But I again, you're not going to have full stadiums. And you might even have totally empty stadiums. So, yeah, go ahead, kneel all you want. We get to show what we get to show.
Yeah, and how will and not to like keep, you know, peeling the pieces of yarn off the ball, but how will those businesses look if they pull ad dollars and make it about an anthem protest?
It depends where they are.
So that's true, but I just think that, you know, I think it's changed. I think the landscape has changed too.
Oh, I hope so. I don't know.
Don't we all?
I don't know. I hope the landscape has changed as well. But that is yet to be determined. You want to pick up on this? You can. I also have another story. The Athletic did an interesting story grading the 2017 NFL draft, right? You can only grade drafts 2-3 years later. It's the only fair way to do it. Grading a draft the next day is stupid. You ought to wait 2-3 years to properly grade a draft. Who can play and who can't play? So they graded the 2017 NFL draft. Guess how your team did? We'll pick that up on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's on. We're right back to where we were in 2016 and into 2017, and that whole the comment that was made at the rally in Alabama in September of 2017 that really turned this into a major issue. They reached what I thought was a delicate truce in 2018, Chris. There was an issue with a new trade deal in Canada. There was something the NFL wanted. The administration got it. Roger Goodell thanked the president publicly. The president acknowledged that, and they reached that kind of a ceasefire, right? Well, it's over. It's over. It's back now, because I interpret what happened last week as meaning players can and will kneel during the anthem this year, and the president, who is up for re-election, if you haven't heard, in November, will be doing everything he can to turn this into an issue that gets his base sufficiently motivated to show up at the polls and vote for him. It's that simple. It's that clear. And that's what's coming for the NFL over the next 5 months.
Okay, there's Nana Florio. It's just for Murray. Just blocked him on Twitter, so I want him to get his Florio fill for the week.
It's like, you know, when a dog hears a siren, like freaks out. That's how it is. Like, I hear his voice, and I'm just like,
Well, but I don't know if you're listening, but, I mean, he's right about that. I mean, you know, Trump considered that a winning cause of his 3 years ago, and he's going to pick it right back up. He needs it.
Oh, yeah, he already has. I mean, he started going in on Drew Brees at the end of last week, and then Brees posted the Instagram post back at the president basically saying, look, it's not about the flag. I was wrong. You're wrong. And he continues to tweet about it. So, you know, you can't kneel. And he puts it all in caps. So he's going to continue to throw that red meat to his base. That ain't going away. Florio's right.
And I'm curious if the NFL has the appetite to really take him on. I just think they've got a real chance to manage it. They have a chance to manage it because the buildings are going to be empty.
But that's the biggest thing. With the empty buildings, they really get to play, you know, they get to play this narrative any way that they want.
They get to control how it's presented. And they're going to have to present some of it because, again, Goodell on one hand can't encourage the players and say, you have our support, we had it wrong the last time, and then edit them out of the, you know, of the TV broadcast. They're going to have to broadcast it. But they get to choose the camera angle. And they get to choose when it appears, and they get to choose that whole thing.
Just quickly on this, I wanted to get your guys' opinion on it because I mentioned to Maz yesterday, and I said it Saturday with Casper. I feel like Goodell not mentioning Colin Kaepernick in this thing might have to do with legal reasons, because there was a settlement between Kaepernick and the league. With what Goodell said in that like we haven't essentially saying we haven't listened to our black players for years. Did he open the league up to a lawsuit potentially?
Well, I thought he settled with Kaepernick. Right?
No, I'm saying just, from another player.
Oh, my God. Like, what would be the...
So you've been ignoring this whole time?
Well, what are you suing for?
I don't know, but I'm just like, who knows?
I mean, Kaepernick sues that he didn't have a job because of... is there another player that would
Eric
say...
Eric Reed hasn't had a job in the last season or so.
But he... I don't know. So, I mean, maybe. I mean, you got to tell me. Like, what player would claim that he was...
Alienated and discriminated against. Eric Reed could have a case.
The guy that I think has the greatest case against the NFL for being blackballed is Tim Tebow. Okay, and he doesn't fit into this story. But how does a guy go 9-7 as a starter and win a playoff game and not have one sniff at a? This is another story, and obviously not related to this. But
can I answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because he sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the Athletic story. The Athletic revisited and ranked the 2017 NFL draft, because again, the only way to go do that is to, in hindsight, look back 2-3 years later and say who got it right, who got it wrong. No one knows the next day, although everyone gives out the grades, and no one even really knows after a year, although I think you can pretty much do it after a year. I think it's gotten to the point where if you don't pop soon,
you don't pop.
Yeah, for take's sake, I'm with you.
I mean,
you got a year.
I mean, in the NFL, how many late bloomers are there really? I mean, there's every now and then there's a late bloomer, but can't you pretty much tell, like, within a year, year and a half, who can play and who can't play?
Outside of running backs, which, now I'm with you, like, you can find, just look at the Niners. You can find them pretty much anywhere and a guy can pop. But at other positions, like wide receiver for one, or say left tackle, I think you know within a year.
I'd say halfway through the second season, you have a clue.
Yeah, I'd say year and a half. Like, it's
halfway, because that first year, a lot of guys, particularly here, a lot of guys just get stashed and, you know, have very minor roles. And then, you know, in the second year, there's that jump. If you don't see it by halfway through the season or see something, that guy's usually in trouble.
That's right. I mean, I think that's, if you don't show by the second year, you don't show. But The Athletic, because they're fair, gives you 3 years. So they go back and grade the 2017 draft. Who do you think had the best 2017 draft?
Ooh.
It's simple when you think about it.
Kansas City?
Kansas City, oh, right. Pat Mahomes, number 10 overall. Okay, they also drafted Kareem Hunt in the third round, but he's gone. But
yep.
Help him for a little.
Good pick, though. Yeah, good pick.
He's also on the list. Can you help me with this defensive lineman's name?
Where was he drafted?
Tano Kapasanaga. I can't even begin to pronounce it. He's still on the team. But I don't recognize the name.
K-P-A-S-S-A-G-N-O-N.
Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, good luck with that. I don't remember him being in the rotation even. Like
Kapasanon? We'll go with Tano Kapasanon.
Okay, Tano Kapasanon. He's still on the team, but I never heard of him. So, there's a couple different ways to do this. Did it have a deep draft? You have a lot of players still on the team? Or did you trade up and draft Pat Mahomes, the best quarterback of this generation, it looks like?
Right.
So Kansas City's number one. The Saints were number two. They drafted Marshawn Lattimore in the first round, one really good corner there, 11 overall. And they have, the reason they're so high is that six players from that draft are still on their team, including Alvin Kamara at running back. They've got
great pick.
They got a couple of edge defensive players that are still playing. So New Orleans was two, Pittsburgh was three.
I was going to say, yeah, they got TJ Watt, right?
Their first four players off the board in 2017 for Pittsburgh were TJ Watt, Juju Smith-Schuster, Cameron Sutton, and James Conner.
Those are good picks.
Pretty good. Okay. Number four is Houston. Again, largely on Deshaun Watson at 12 overall. Okay. Then you have Carolina at five. They have five players still on the team from that draft: Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, Taylor Morton, the guard, Corn Elder. That corner, Alexander Arma at fullback. I don't know. So they rank them sixth. Okay, so now let's start parsing away through. The Buffalo Bills, by the way, are sixth. Tre'Davious White was their first-round pick. Good corner.
Good pick.
Okay, a couple other players still on the team. Number seven was Baltimore. That was not the Lamar Jackson year, but Baltimore's number seven. Number eight was San Francisco. Solomon Thomas was the third overall pick on the defensive line. They also took Akella Witherspoon at corner, C.J. Beathard, the backup quarterback in the third round, George Kittle in the fifth. That's why San Francisco's number eight right there, George Kittle in the fifth round. You would think they might be a little bit higher just based on that one pick. Let's see, Cleveland number nine, Chargers number 10. Let me just see if I can find some other AFC East teams here. Let me just keep scrolling down. 14.
Huh, you haven't named New England yet.
You missed Reuben Foster. That's why another reason San Francisco would have been high.
Okay. The Jets had the 16th ranked draft in 2017, ranked 16th. Jamal Adams, 6th overall. Excellent player. A little bit of a head case, but be that as it may, he's a Jet, so fits perfectly. So they're ranked 16th. Let's see. So we've done Buffalo. We've done the Jets. Let me see if I can find some more AFC East teams here. 18.
Miami? What about Miami?
19. Dallas is 20. The Rams are 21. The Colts are 22. I'm just scrolling through here. The Cardinals
are
23.
What about Cleveland? They have the number
23. I skipped them because who cares about Cleveland?
But they were up higher, yeah.
Chicago, who absolutely screwed the pooch
right
at quarterback, trading up for Mitch Trubisky at number two, was ranked 24th. Chicago was 24th. Okay, let's see. Jacksonville, 25th. Washington, 26th. Number 27 was Philadelphia. Number 28 is Denver. Don did not have a good draft that year. Jake Butt in the fifth round. That was Murray's guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's really panned out. He's still on the team. Oh, here's Miami at 29.
Ah, yeah.
Miami was 29th. So let me just see. I seem to be missing a team here. Let's see. Atlanta's number 30. 31 is the Las Vegas Raiders. Oh, here we go. 32 out of 32. The New England Patriots, the 32nd ranked draft in 2017. And frankly, when you look at it.
Oh, it's so bad.
Not even close. It's not. They were 32 in a runaway.
It's 32, and you can't debate it.
They shouldn't get an F. They should get an FU for this.
The Vegas Raiders, 31. Okay, the Vegas Raiders are 31. They drafted Garen Conley at corner. He's no longer on the team in the first round. Obi Melifonwu, who's now here, right?
And he's cut.
In the second round, and now he's gone here, too. They drafted a defensive tackle, something named Eddie Vanderdoes. Vanderdoes? Vanderdoes?
Yeah, it's the Vanderdoes rules.
Okay, in the third round. They drafted, so just a wretched draft, nothing, and they beat you by a crap ton.
Yeah, because they probably made more picks. Yeah, it'll put four players out of this thing.
You know what? You know when they do the lineups at the beginning of the game? Derek Rivers, defensive end. Suck bag you. Antonio Garcia, offensive line. Suck state.
Out of the league.
Here's the Patriots draft in 2017. Third round, Derek Rivers. Third round, Antonio Garcia. Fourth round, Dedrick Wise. Sixth round, Connor McDermott, Bedard.
And don't forget,
Connor McDermott, the U.
This was also the draft that the team used their social media arm to try to convince you that guys like Brandon Cooks and Coney Ealy, who they traded for, were draft picks.
Right. Correct. And who was that crappy running back they got from Buffalo?
Oh, Gillisley. Oh, Mike Gillisley.
Gillisley was their fifth round pick, right?
Like, oh, what a crock.
Remember that. So they obviously the first round pick went for Brandon Cooks. They traded him for first. What do they do with that first? Do you know off the top of your head? I'd just be curious to know. But anyway, you got diddly poo, diddly crap, diddly nothing, zero.
Connor McDermott.
Out of two, except for Connor McDermott, who's gone. And they're forced to on every team give you best player, best value, biggest miss, best player was Dedrick Wise.
Jameel Douglas.
No. Best value was Wise. Biggest miss was Garcia. So this is just a long way of saying there are drafts in there in 2017, 18. Like, Bill went into a big slump, you hope.
Jordan Richards.
You hope. You hope that that's just a slump and not a things to come and that, you know, this past draft wasn't a continuation of that. But it's starting to come home to roost. It did last year. I mean, they lack in young talent, and those drafts and that run of drafts, Maz, is what put them behind the eight ball.
I mean, that 27... That 2017 draft, in all seriousness, might have been his worst ever. That might have been his worst offseason. Wasn't Coney Ealy, was he a second-round pick?
Third.
Oh, my gosh, that is so bad. Derek Rivers, Antonio Garcia, Dedrick Wise, and Connor McDermott. Oh, what they got out of that draft? Seriously, that is the Hall of Fame of suck drafts right there. That is awful.
So they ranked 32 out of 32 teams, and folks, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. And I wonder what, you know... 2016, I looked back, go back and look at that grade 3 years later. Cyrus Jones, Joe Tooney, Jacoby Brissett, Vincent Valentine, Malcolm Mitchell. You know, I'm not sure what that draft ranks either. And, oh boy, 2018, Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel better produce. Otherwise, it's Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, Duke Dawson, Jawan Bentley, Christian Sam, Braxton Berrios, Danny Etling, Keon Crossing, Ryan Izzo.
Ugh.
Like, you know, they got to do some work this year, or that's going to be another, you know, that's going to be another cellar dweller. I don't know if it's 32 out of 32, but when it comes to suck bag drafts, it's really hard to beat that 2017 Grop right there.
That's an all-timer.
Okay, I promise. Your phones are after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180weightloss.com.